Only two items in this edition of Spectrum, but we'll be hearing lots of noises all the same. On the line from Montreal, Canada, we'll hear from some of the broadcasters who attended the 1982 convention of the Association of North American Radio Clubs. Normally, you'd have to place a multitude of phone calls to various places all over the globe to try and get to speak to them, so we used the opportunity of them all being in captivity at the same location. That location is the home of Radio Canada International's Ian McFarland, who had his living room converted into a radio studio. We'll get to that a little later on. First, on behalf of the Australian Radio DX Club, here are Bob Pendula and Peter Bunn with their regular DX report. All times are GMT and the frequencies are in kilohertz.
The big news on the international shortwave radio scene at the moment is the reactivation of the external service broadcasts of Radio Uganda. After an absence of several months, the station has once again commenced international broadcasting using the 19 meter band outlet of 15325. One high power transmitter of 250 kilowatts is being used on an experimental basis. It's actually located in northeast Uganda at Soroti. And so far, the test broadcasts have been heard from 0300 to 0430, beamed to Australia. There's also a further transmission from 0630 until 0800, intended for Western Europe, also using 15325. The service at this time is in English and French, with a near summary at 07 to 0710. The station is anxious to receive reception reports from listeners around the world so that an assessment of the quality and signal strength of the test transmissions can be made. Its address is Radio Uganda, Post Office Box 2038, Kampala, Uganda.
The Marianas Islands later this year will be the focus for international radio listeners when the new station of the Far East Broadcasting Company at Philippines comes on the air. Currently, installation work is proceeding with the transmitter and antenna facilities. And here are details of the planned frequency usage as submitted to the International Telecommunications Commission in Geneva. From 2100 to 0700 on 17795. From 0700 to 1800 on 11900. And from 1800 to 2100 on 9695. A single transmitter of 100 kilowatts is being installed, and the broadcast will be primarily intended for reception in Japan. No doubt, the test transmissions will be heard further afield, having trickled on the air sometime after early September.
Nada.
Voice of Turkey, broadcasting for listeners in Asia on the 19-meter band, 15,125 kilohertz.
It seems as if more and more international broadcasters are introducing high-powered transmitters. The latest is the Voice of Turkey in Ankara, which has just put into operation a new 500 kilowatt facility for its overseas programs. Until recently, the station has had available three shortwave transmitters. Now, with four transmitters on the air, this has made possible an extension of some services to give expanded coverage for some reception regions. Since the new transmitter has been put on the air, the Voice of Turkey has added a special broadcast intended primarily for Australia. This is available from 2300 until 0300. With programming in the Turkish language, and is radiated on 17715. Other frequencies also in use for this program are 7155, 11900 and 9560. These frequencies are also used for the daily English transmission from 2200 to 2300. When the next transmission period begins on the 5th of September, the Voice of Turkey plans to use 15415 for the daily English language to Australia, 1200 to 1400. Dubai. Radio Dubai at present features English programming from 1615 to 1645 each day in the broadcast intended for Europe and Africa. The channels used this time are 21655, 17775 and 15320. On Saturdays and Sundays, there is a special 15-minute English broadcast from 1645 to 1700, which is devoted to international affairs and golf news. On Saturdays, the presentation is entitled Spotlight on the News, and on Sundays, it's The Week in the Arabian Gulf. Dubai Radio also has a daily English service to Japan and Australia. This is on the air from 0530 to 0600 on 17830 for Japan and 17775 and 21700 for Australia. The Austrian Radio, VAR, has announced a frequency change for its services directed to Australia and the Far East. The new channel is 21735, which has replaced 15225 in the 19 megaband. This new frequency is on the air from 0600 to 0900. The English broadcast goes out each day from 0830 until 0900. Watch out for the special Wednesday feature with Austria and the United Nations. On Saturdays, the popular program is The Week in Austria. Don't forget that on Sundays, the English segment is extended to include an additional program from 0900 to 0915, which is called the Austrian Shortwave Panorama. This covers a varied selection of technical news of interest to shortwave listeners and DXs. Shortwave broadcasting from the External Service of Radio Difusion Argentina has now become somewhat more settled. The latest schedule shows four frequencies in use simultaneously between midnight and 0500. These are 6060, 6180, 9690, and 11710. English is scheduled from 0100 to 0130, 0200 to 0300, and 0430 to 0500, with these services intended generally for the North American area. Now, this information was sent in by Carlos Pazan in Argentina.
And that DX report came to us courtesy of the Australian Radio DX Club. If you'd like to get in touch with the club, just drop them a line, including, of course, a couple of IRCs for return postage. That's the Australian Radio DX Club, P.O. Box 227, Box Hill, Victoria, 3128 in Australia. And now let's turn our attention to all those broadcasters gathered at the home of Radio Canada International's Ian McCrowan. Ian, what have you got there at the moment?
Well, it's a little garden party that we're having in my home at the moment. Julio Haylock and Adrian Peterson from the Census Bureau Radio. We have Dr. David Meisel from Geneseo, New York, who's a propagation specialist. And we have Nini Bishon from the Voice of Turkey, Montana. And moving along the living room here, we have Larry Magnus from Penn Park, California. And Dave Brown from Pasadena, California. He's the head mucky muck of Anorak, I should add. And then we also have John Strom from the Phony Corporation of America in Park Ridge, New Jersey. Then Chuck White, who's the publicity director of IDARC. And then Dan Robinson, who is with the Voice of America, their African news desk. And Andy Sennett, the assistant editor of the World Radio TV Handbook. And Phil Sondal from HCJB. And sitting right in front of Phil is Margaret Howard, who is the guest of honor at our convention this night. Margaret, as most of you listeners are probably aware, is the hostess of the BBC World Service Letterbox program.
All right, let's begin with Swiss Radio International's Bob Zanotti. Bob, why do you keep going to the conventions of the Association of North American Radio Clubs?
The reason that we keep going, not every year, I'm afraid to say, this is my third one, the reason we go is because we consider the North American audience to be very important. You know yourself that the Europeans have their get-together every year, the European DX Council Conference, which is held in Germany this year, and the Americans have the IARC. We like to try to visit both on alternate years, if possible. We find their views on shortwave listening tend to be different sometimes than the Europeans. And over the miles, sometimes our views and our ideas can get distorted. We also come to take people's hands and talk to them about their reaction to our programs and ask them what they would like to see and the way it changes or approaches the programming.
Why do you never insult us and Max? What about you?
Well, I basically have been misdirecting to the programs that we're doing. Not necessarily to the other network programs, but not to come up with other programs that we've started recently, such as the report series and also the Footway Feedback Program.
This is the first time that Radio Netherlands has been represented at IARC?
Oh, no, we've been here before. I was on the local report a couple of years ago, and it's our intention to maintain a regular link with IARC.
What do you think is the biggest advantage? What do you get out of going to IARC? Is it mainly the listeners, or do you also look forward to having a chat to some of the broadcasters? There's a tremendous variety of them there.
Yes, and certainly a different sort of variety of what we meet at EDXC, quite true. But it's mainly the listeners that we come to meet.
Over now to the BBC's Margaret Hurd. Margaret, apart from getting an invitation to attend the NR convention, where did you go?
That's the only reason I'm winning. I know very little about it, and I know a little bit from the World Service program we had about it, which was an actual rule. But all our knowledge of it extends to, so I'm not sure as a DX, I'm a broadcaster.
Have you learned a little bit more about the DXing fraternity?
Did I find what DX was?
And what do you think about it? Does it make sense to you?
A lot of the people seem to be listening just to the sort of building up a song of listening to things, rather than listening to programs themselves. That's why it's a sort of successful for a program later like now. A lot of people I speak to seem to be very interested in getting CSR cards and listicles and badges and so on. And they're not interested in reading.
Any senate of the World Radio TV Handbook, which area of the world is the most difficult to get information from for the WRTH?
Well, one obvious area is China, where Radio Peking unfortunately don't want to follow kind of information because we insist on including our countries like Taiwan. And this is unfortunate because we know that we have the information, but of course we're not prepared to change our editorial standards just to get it.
Is this where you're seeking the support of the Axis at large?
Definitely, and in fact the Chinese section is compiled almost exclusively from knowledge of observations by the Axis and of course by the International Telecast Organization.
Next we have Adrian Peterson from the Adventist World Radio in Pune, India. Adrian, comparing shortwave listening in Asia and North America, what do you find?
Well, the main differences are really, I think, in development of the heavy NDRs. Because in North America, so much equipment is available, and postage is relatively cheap as far as income is concerned. Whereas in Asia, people can look at the radios that they would like, and if they want to rent their station, it costs them more money to send the correspondent branch. And so consequently, there is this situation. Then also, the language difference in Asia is quite marked, because English is the second language, and not only the fluent language. And so consequently, the number of people who can go into the action is somewhat limited.
Thanks, Adrian. Well then, and finally back to Ian McFarlane, who in addition to his normal duties at Radio Canada International, where he's most often heard in the African surface, and of course, where now Canada's first shortwave digest, has borne the brunt of being the organizer and host. Ian, has it all been worth it?
Well, I think I had myself
Thank you.